this is Rabbi Sender Kleinbard, and he's going to talk of the recollections of the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal. Go ahead. What's the first thing you remember?
The first thing I remember when I was in the yeshiva about 2 or 3 weeks, it was like in the beginning of the Zman, it was, I'll tell you when it was,
yes.
It was the summer Zman of, well, I remember the English year, 1961. That's, I think, when I came to the yeshiva.
Where were you before that?
I was in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
So I was able to get into the yeshiva. You didn't have to take big fares. And from Philadelphia, right. You just went automatically.
And
you know,
when you were in Philadelphia, did you see him when he visited, or did you visit?
I did. I saw him one time when he said a shiur on Pilegish. That I remember.
Uh-huh. Oh, see, that's something.
He said a shiur on Pilegish, and we were learning Kedushin then.
Yeah.
And I just remember one vart from
yeah.
the shiur.
Yeah.
The one vart that he said, I remember that there's a machlokes if ksuba is the raisa or the rabbanon.
Yeah.
So if you hold ksuba is the raisa, then we understand that a Pilegish is without a ksuba. But if you hold that a ksuba is the rabbanon, that midrash, a regular isha doesn't need a ksuba, so what does it mean, a pilegish? Why is a pilegish different from a regular isha?
Uh-huh.
It's because the Gemara has a lashon pilegish b'lo ksuba, but if ksuba is the rabbanon, then what's the difference between a pilegish and a regular person?
Uh-huh.
So I remember what he said, that the taicha b'loi ksuba means without ischaivus. Doesn't mean the ksuba itself, but the what's the ischaivus of an isha? It says in the Torah, she'er ksus of yaina.
Mm-hmm.
And a pilegesh is a woman that you take without any ischaivus to her.
Uh-huh.
That's what I remember in learning.
Now, besides, during that shia, did you recall about something about his, you know, his demeanor and things like that, which you saw in the way he delivered it?
Yeah, we never saw somebody with such, like, excitement, you know,
uh-huh.
With such a brand, like, everything he was giving, his whole self, to say the shiur.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pretty young Bachram then who were there, and we had a hard time understanding his language because, it was hard to understand him at the first time you heard him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real Litvish, sprach that he had.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't so used to that, mm-hmm. you know, and like a European, you know, who was there in the yeshiva? Okay, or Shmuel or Rebellion, they fought were more American,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was easier to understand what they said. But it was with a Bren, that I do remember. It was with a, we were so nispoiled, like we were shaking from excitement.
Now, was the excitement because what they told you about him, or what you saw?
Oh, no, what we saw. What we saw.
Uh-huh.
Very, Okay.
Okay. Now you want to go back to what you started with.
That was before. Now I was starting when I was in the yeshiva 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So we were learning Masechta Shabbos then.
Yeah.
And he said a beautiful shiur on Shabbos.
Yeah. What was it about?
The topic was Shnayim Shasu.
Uh huh.
And what he wanted to come answer, this I remember, that why do you have to have a separate pasuk by Ritzicha? There's a separate pasuk of Shnayim Shasu, you know, if a lot of people kill.
Yeah.
That is that you're potter. And in fact, one man the Yoma holds, I think, Yechayiv, but
mm-hmm.
even we hold Yupotah, there's a separate pasuk.
Mm-hmm.
And by Shchutei Chutz, I think, there's a separate pasuk.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning of Kedushin, I think either the Rishayim asked it, or maybe the Karenor asked the Kasha, why do you need a separate pasuk for Ritzicha, that Shchutei Chutz, that you potter, you know, learn it out from the miyut of Shnayim Shasa, wherever we learn it out from, says that you're potter. So,
it's like a binyan av, you mean?
Not a binyan, like there's a limud by a shkoga, by a chatos, that Shnayim Shasa is potter from a chatos, so it's a limud all over. Yeah. So, the site of the Teretz was that all Isurei Torah, the Isur is the Maisa. The Isur is the Maisa, and by he brought Raya's that by Ritzicha and by Shchut Echutz, the Isur is not the Maisa, but the Isur is the Eiftu, the result. So Memela, we're Yechaya for the Maisa. So then that's the meat of Shnayim Shasu, like you did a half a Maisa. But where you chayiv for the result, you never chayiv for what you did. You chayiv for what you accomplished. So even if two people accomplished it together, I would think that maybe you chayiv. Because the chayiv is not for the Maisa itself. It's for what you accomplished. And I, for some reason, I remember because I used it many times, this svara. And other achronim talk about such a svara also. So that's what he wanted to say, that the yisr is the yif too. All right. So right away, I thought I was learning either in the afternoon or at night. I was learning perik habayna. That's the small perik in the back of Shabbos, you know, And I remember we learned there was a, I don't know who's on the side of the rift, either the Ran or the Muki Yosef, I don't remember which one, you have to look it up.
Okay.
One of the, he brings down a Shaila, if Chok Teiches is Chayiv by Shabbos. Chok Teiches means where you don't write the words, but you...
You scrape them out.
You scrape them out, and the words come in Mela. So he brings down that by Gittin it's not called a Get, because it's not called a Ksiva. So he has the Rani, it's the Kasha, how come by Shabbos we find that you Chayiv? So the Ran says, because Niskaima Machshavtai. By Gittin, you have to write it. It's not called writing because you didn't write it.
It's
like Siva, but by Shabbos, as long as it's Niskaima Machshavtai. So I took it literally. It's Niskaima Machshavtai. It means that the Yisr is what you created words, not the act of writing the words, because you're not writing there. So it's what the words were created.
Yeah.
So that's similar to being chayiv for the, you know, for the yiftu.
That's right.
That's how I assume.
Right.
So I went over to Rav Meir Hershkowitz. Right after the shiur, and I showed him this, and I told him. So he said it's a very good kasha, and he pushed me. He said, "Go ask the Rosh Hashir."
Yeah, okay.
I was just 2 weeks in the yeshiva. I was like, I said, no, I don't want to go. But he said, no, you have to go. It's a good kasha, and he mamish took me over to the Rosh Hashir, and I asked him the kasha, and he blasted me. I don't know the exact words. I don't remember, but I guess he called me a shaita. He mamish ripped me apart, and he told me it's no kasha because what the Ran means is the maisa of shopping Isis is the issa. Until today, I think I was right. That's what he told me. And go ahead, so what's the maisa? The maisa is that the next day he went looking for me, and he came over to me and he apologized that he spoke to me so rough, because this was right after this year, and he was very excited, and I asked him Akasha, like, this was like the main side of this year, and I was like freaking him up, so he got very excited, and that's why he insulted me. But he apologized, and he said, anyway, you know, he told me I should have a tzlach in the yeshiva. Mamish gave me a bracha,
were you surprised?
I had like a different kind of relationship.
Were you surprised when he told you off?
What?
Were you surprised when he told you off like that at the beginning?
Uh, No, I wasn't surprised. I heard that.
He did that a lot of times.
Yeah, he did that a lot of times. Yeah, I wasn't surprised. Just that, you know, I was...
still taken back, shocked.
Yeah. But then I was... The Chiddush is that he came over to me afterwards. Yeah. The next day, I think. He was looking for me.
Yeah.
And he told me to come over. You know, I went over to him and he apologized.
Yeah.
Because he knew I was a new bachur in the yeshiva. So he...
Sensitive.
That's that, my son.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
I do remember also the Maisa has no, I don't know if it has any bearing. In I guess it must have been that winter, in the winter of 61, like the winter's man.
Before
he went to Eretz Yisrael. When's the last time he went to Eretz Yisrael?
I don't remember.
Do you have a cheshbon now?
No, I don't have.
Well, the next year he was nifter in the end of the year. So I don't know. This might have been in the beginning of 62 or the end of 61. But it was probably that winter he went to Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
And he came back from Eretz Yisrael.
Do you know who he went with?
What?
Who accompanied him?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
And he came back to Borough Park, you know, to the apartment, Borough Park. Anyway, Moshe Hirsch was then in charge.
Which Moshe Hirsch?
Moshe Hill Hirsch,
Shivan
Slobodka.
Okay, right.
He was a bacher then. He was in charge of getting bacherim to drive the Rosh Yeshiva in New York each day, you know, to be with him for each day.
Mm-hmm.
So it came out that he came on. I knew him, and he came to me, and I grabbed a new hat. Oh, at that time, it's interesting, not everybody knew how to drive,
right.
But my father had a car, so I learned how to drive.
Right.
I had a car at home. So I was like 20 or 21 then, you know, so I knew how to drive already. So I was hot, you know, I was put on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I was put on the list on that day, it must have been a Thursday, to drive the yeshiva back from New York to Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
But he had just come back, I think, the day before from Eretz Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it's the first time I'm driving him, and I really didn't know him that well. And as soon as there was no Verrazano Bridge at that time,
right.
I had to go through the Holland Tunnel and then get on to Route 9. It was a very complicated drive, but I think that I did it right. And from the beginning of the trip, as soon as we got out of the Holland Tunnel, he starts telling me, as ich fahr. I'm not going, ich fahr nicht der richtige Weg. I'm going wrong.
Right.
And he got me so nervous. I wasn't such an experienced driver. And I wasn't, I don't think I ever drove from New York to Lakewood once. And I said, this is Route 9. This is the, you know, I told him this is the way to go. And he kept on insisting, and we kept on looking, and there was no sign, Route 9. And
Amaisa,
the whole way to Lakewood, every few minutes, he kept on saying, I'm going wrong.
Uh-huh.
Baruch Hashem, we finally got to Lakewood. You know what he said?
What?
He said, the Mizantaka in Lakewood of the Biskafar Nishrichtig. I went to Nishrichtig away. So what's the pshat? That he just came back from a trip and must have been a little, you know, disoriented on the way. And it was it's not like today with the Garden State. It was, the road wasn't so good.
Yeah.
And there were no signs. We were looking for signs. Route 9, we couldn't find it. So he thought that was an experience that I had.
Okay.
All right. Nope.
Anything else besides that?
Another experience.
Think that you saw during shiurim or other hanhagas. It doesn't have to be personal.
Yeah, I don't remember. I do remember that Thursday night when he came back to the yeshiva, there was like a shtickle excite. There was, you know.
Yeah, was that? That's
it was.
That.
He used to come in for Musa Say the Thursday night before Ma'ariv.
Like 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So it used to be, it was like sort of a chizuk for everybody.
Yeah.
You saw him come in. But I don't remember any particular mices.
Mm-hmm. You were going to say something else, I think.
The third mice I remember, it was the summer... It must have been the summer of 61. I came to Pesach Man that summer. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was a yid, a very chashuv yid, Yoel Adler, from Adwi. You know Adwi.
Yeah, I knew him.
You knew Yoel
from
Adler?
From Williamsburg, sure.
Okay.
He used to be like a leader.
Was the leader of group.
Right, I was in his group.
You were in his group?
Yeah.
Okay, what year?
I would say in the 50s, in the late 50s, like middle 50s, like 56, 57, about 55, around there. 55 maybe, yeah. I was a teenager. Yeah, about 55.
So maybe you were together with me in the group?
It's possible. Possible.
But I must have been at the same time then.
We used to have in the old shift, they used to have on Shabbos afternoon a class.
Right.
And they used to talk about the Aruch HaShulchan. Right.
Yeah.
The Aruch HaShulchan used to talk about.
So maybe you were either a year after, a year before me. I don't know. We,
I don't remember. I think Yaffe was
time,
in there
right?
too.
So you know Yael Adler? Okay.
Yeah, I remember him, yeah.
Yeah.
Is he still living?
What?
Is he still living?
No.
Oh.
No, he died very young.
Oh. I remember he used to live on Rodney Street.
Right. Yeah,
Rodney and
Rodney.
Lee and Betsy.
Then he moved to Borough Park.
That's after my time.
Yeah. And then in Borough Park, he had a group that he was in that 1961. He had a group that he was leading also.
Uh-huh.
And one of the people in that group became my future brother-in-law and Rabbi Greenfeld. I don't know if you heard of him.
Don't ever heard of him.
He's the Menal in Torah Tamima. So he had moved from the east side to Borough Park, and he was in his group.
Mm-hmm.
When it came the summer, that summer, so he used to take his group on a trip in the summertime. He was a very... He left his family to take these bachrim.
You talking about Yoel Adler?
Well, Yoel Adler.
Yeah, right, yeah.
He was taking them on a trip to do New York State, Howe Caverns, all New York State.
Yeah.
Now, his family had a house in Fleischmann's.
Uh-huh, right.
The Adlers had a house in Fleischmann's.
Right.
Okay, so he called me up, Ben Ismanim. I had just gone to Lakewood, and he asked me if I could do him a favor and go with him he needs somebody to help him to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it comes with driving, and to help him to go on take the Bachram on the trip, you know, to be Masasik,
right,
to help
right,
him.
Right.
He had about five or six boys in the station, in the station wagon, mm-hmm. besides us too. So I was masking. Yeah, I wasn't doing anything that summer. It was my first summer in Bainas Manama Lakewood, so I was masking to do that.
Yeah.
So the reason I remember the story is because, so how did I go on the trip? So I took a baseball cap and a baseball, you know, like a baseball jacket,
right.
Some a light jacket. And it was supposed to be like from like Monday to Wednesday or to Thursday. It wasn't a Shabbos. I didn't have to get dressed up, you know. So that's the way I went. And we went. And we left about, we left one afternoon, maybe 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock. We drove straight to his house in Fleischmann's, and that's where we were going to sleep, and from there go on the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we got there 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. So we wanted to go Daven Meirah. Mm-hmm. There was a hotel then called Letterers
right.
at that time.
Right.
So we went to the hotel to Daven Meirah. No. So who do I, my luck, I was with the baseball jacket and baseball cap, and the Rosh Yeshiva was there.
Uh-huh.
So I I took back for a second.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But then I got enough courage, and I went over to him, and I gave him Shalom Aleichem, and I tried to explain to him I was in the middle of, I was on a trip. And I know that I spoke to him in learning then. I asked him about the chiluk, the machlokes between the Mogen Avram and the Gro, you know, the Gavi Zman.
Go ahead, you're in the middle of the thing with the letterer. And what was the story again?
This was the summer of 61.
No, you're talking about what you asked, what you're in learning. You said something in learning.
I spoke to him about the Mogen Avraham and the Gra. Lagabi, there's a big Gra on the Zman Krishma. We argue with Rabbein. No, not with Rabbeinu Tam, with the Zmanim in the morning, the Mogen Avraham and the Gra.
Yeah.
You start from Aleisa Shachar, from
how you measure the day
about that. Cause yeah. Maybe during Beinus Manim I was learning that a little bit. So I asked him, and he told me, if I remember, I don't remember exactly what he told me, but he told me a Hesber in the Machlokes between the Mogen Avraham and the Gra,
uh-huh.
that he told me.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's about it. The only other thing he told me then, I think, was if I have a chance, Beinus Manim, I should look at the Shtickel Torah that he wrote on it's Takanagay for this week. You know, he has, they printed it out, how to teach Torah. Did you see it? Rabbi Lyman printed it. It was a shiur that he said for Torah Masorah,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's printed in Rav Bloch's Svarim, the Hakdama.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole shiur on to be Masbir, the Machlokes of Sarah and Avram and Yitzchak and Rivka. It's a whole thing. So I don't know if it was then or a different time, but he had told me that Beinu Zmanim I should look at. It wasn't mm-hmm. something for the Zman
mm-hmm.
to learn. You know, he held it was something to wait, you know, to spend time on the Zman. But he told me Beinu Zmanim to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is that for many, many years, I used to say over this shtickel, you know, on Shalosh Shudis in this week's parsha, I used to go to a shul. Now I don't go there anymore now, but to Rabbi Fisher, you know, he's also a Talmud of Lakewood.
I
used to speak Shalosh Shudis, Parshas Toldos. I used to say over this whole Hezbah from Rav Aaron on the Yovis and the Imois and the Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Esav, a whole Hezber. But he had once told me that I should learn it Beinu Zmanim, so I took it upon myself like to say it over a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'm sorry I took up so much of your time.
Fine.
And I don't know if I'm any help, but
everybody helps. But who's this Rabbi Fisher?
Who's Rabbi
yeah.
Fisher? He has a shul in Flatbush, 22nd and I. He learned in Lakewood.
What's his first name?
He was there.
What's his first
name? Our time, maybe a little bit later he came, you know, a year or two later, but he was there.
What time, what was his first name?
Yitzchak Fisher.
And he lives in Flatbush?
He lives in Flatbush.
You know, possibly where.
I'm just trying to think if he came to the, maybe he came after the rush. It's possible he came right after he was there.
Uh-huh.
That's why you don't have his name.
Well, I pick up from everybody else, you know, they tell me
yeah.
certain things.
I'm not sure when he came. I don't remember which year he came to Lakewood.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Must have been. He was with me in Philadelphia, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But I think he was, I think he came afterwards. You know who he is? He's a grandson of Reb Chaim Gelb. You remember Reb
sure.
Chaim Gelb?
Sure. In fact,
his mother is the daughter of Reb Chaim Gelb.
His grandson is here in Lakewood. There's a Gelb in Lakewood.
There's a Gelb in Lakewood.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that's his...
His grandson.
No, that's his cousin, I guess.
You're right. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, right.
That's a cousin to Rabbi
right.
Fisher.
So the
I met this Gelb in Lakewood, yeah, when I was there for a Shabbos. He came
been
over
here a long
to
time.
Me. Yeah.
Cousin. He's good friends with Lubin. You know Lubin.
Yeah.
Remember Lubin?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're very established.
Uh-huh.
No, okay, Gelb.
So you lived in Williamsburg?
Sure. I was in your class in Tarvadas.
I think so. I remember.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Climb and Applegrad.
Applegrad, right? Yeah.
And
yeah.
Belsky.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So
yeah. The only thing is, in Yoel Adler's group, you were a year because I moved in '54. I moved to Barabbas.
Uh-huh.
So I was the group before.
Were you there when he got married?
Yeah. Sure.
I was there too then.
Yeah, I was at his wedding, yeah, in court. That's after his father died, I think he got married.
I remember.
Yeah, sure.
He had a brother, Felix Adler.
Felix, yeah. He lives in Muncie.
Yeah, I've seen him once in a while.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so you were in my class. Okay.
I just interviewed Fensterheim, too.
Yeah.
Was he in that class or was before?
Fensterheim. But when did he come? He came
similar
to Lakewood. What?
Similar time like you.
Yeah, but he came a year later, probably. Okay.
Well, if he was there a year later, he couldn't see the Rosh Hashiva, was he?
So what, he told you, he said he was there with the...
Rosh Hashiva, sure, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe he came as man later. Oh,
yeah, right.
Could be his man. Yeah, he came as man later, right, yeah.
Okay, he told me certain things which were very characteristic. Very characteristic, but... The thing is, like, could you finish off with something like the lasting impression or like a legacy that you have? Something like a statement like that. It's just like a finale. I'd like to get that. What do you go away with?
Well. I think I'd go away that I never before or never after saw or met or had to do with such a person that who's like, I would say, like, in my mind he was like Kulei Ruchnius. And the only thing I'm sorry is I didn't take more advantage of it, but it's always like that, you know. You don't take advantage, b'shas mais, or later you realize it. Yeah. And besides the Kulei Ruchnius, I don't know, he was, when you saw him, you saw somebody who was on a different plane, on a different level, on a whole, it's like, well, today they would say it brought you back to the, you know, to the Rosh Yeshivas of Europe, to Baruch Berah, Bochanan. You had a picture. You put him in that category, and that legacy is in my mind at all times, even today, like, you know, 40 something years later.
Like some of the Talmud, I don't put words in your mouth, but they told me that even till today, whenever they do anything, they think of, what would the Rosh Hashiva say about this? What if he's looking at me, what would he say?
Yeah, okay.
That's what they told
me. I can say that because I think the ones that could say that had to be there longer. I really can't say that.
Okay. Right.
I don't put those words.
I don't want to put them in your mouth.
I think more I had the impression just of the godless, the impression to see godless, in a little way, it's a help to strive for godless. Mm-hmm. You know that. I mean, in our Madrig, of course, not like that, but... Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay.
Also, Zygazon.
Zygazon, bye.